for dinner, wash for supper.
How many people usually stay at one boarding house?
I believe the maximum would be about 90.
90 men at one house?
Mm-hmm.
Do they actually sleep there too?
Oh no, they have big bunk houses. I wish I had some of the pictures. They all got stolen from my books over home. That's why I brought my choice books over here. People were breaking there and all my old books is just gone.
Did they feed you good?
Oh, yes.
All you could eat?
Yes, yes. You see, I was supposed to get 3.5 a day, but a dollar of that went for boarding house. There was a boarding house where always company owned. In fact, they wouldn't hire you if you was a single man unless you boarded at their boarding house. It worked both ways, you see. But there was no objection to that because I believe the companies fed lots better than any meal I ever ate in a boarding house run by white people.
Well, could you describe the bunk houses and how many men was in the room and toilet conditions, etc.?
That depended. It was supposed to be 2 men in a room, 2 single beds in a room. But I've taken in 3 other men in my bed. I'd work one shift, they'd work another. One sleep at the, they were single beds, one sleep at the foot, one at the top. And if there were good clean kids from the valley, one could sleep in my bed, and some of the other miners would let the other fellow sleep in the same way. Yet there wasn't room, but sometimes their dollar was just as good as a miner's dollar.
These boarding houses were owned by the mine too?
Yes. Everything was mine owned. That's one thing the union did for us. They made it so you couldn't, it used to be, you couldn't work in the mine unless you worked boarded at their boarding house. But after the union took over, that was, but then they wouldn't hire you anyhow, unless there was a big scarcity of men. Then they'd hire you and let you live at home, or sleep at home, or sleep in another boarding house.
What was your work week when you first went to work?
6 days a week when I first went to work. But when
at the underground
after the
mine.
Union, it was 7 days a week, 8 hours. Underground.
8 hours a day.
8 hours a day and 7 days a week.
I was under the impression they usually worked 10 hours a day.
Well, that was before the union took over.
Oh, it was 10 hours a day before the union.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you advance in this job?
Well, it's faster than I really could. I finally got so that I got acquainted with the foreman, and I'd always clean up. If they'd had an extra big round, I'd work that much harder. And I'd get out that so I could skip out of it only for 5 minutes in that assay office. And that was, they knew what I was doing, and they, should I say, catered to me. After the first experience, and they found I'd do it anyhow, I did my work, and that's all that was required of me.
How did your career advance from there? What steps did you go through?
Well, I eventually, went up through the lines of mucking, which really was my best job, because I had to register every car that came out. But sometimes the foreman knew what I was doing. He would plug in a couple of plugs in my chart and tell me, beat it out of here about 3 o'clock. myself. I'd hurry then, I'd work like hell and clean up. So if a superintendent or any straw boss, we used to call them, the spies, would come through, they'd see you it's cleaned up. They couldn't say anything.
Did you have a dangerous job?
Yes, I dangerous as they could be. I'd watched men die, couldn't get at them. And Stopes gave in. See, one fellow got his head killed between two timbers, and it was 9 hours before they could get to that poor fellow. He finally died, but he'd kick, and he'd scream, and he'd holler, and he was so thin. He couldn't speak English, but you could tell when he'd curse, he could curse in English. And he'd pray to be killed. Pray, somebody shoot me, shoot me. Of course, we couldn't get in the stope. It was cracking. Timber, one timber give, one timber gives. They have to go over the whole stope, because when one timber is shot out, the others crowd toward it. There was a crack here. So we have to stay out. And timber, brace your timbers so you can go into the men. And it's no fun to see a man caught and dying. You can't get at him. It's no fun. I hate to think of it.
Well, what happened with your advancement in the job then?
Well, my first advancement I got was trammer.
Could you explain that, please?
Yes. When a mine gets in over 1,000 feet and branches off thousands of feet each way, then all the mucker has to do, he's given a train of cars. And sometimes it's on a slope, then he has a mule to pull the empties back. And then he has an empty car that's loaded with steel to ride the back. It has brakes on. That shoe I showed you out there with the wooden sole,
yes, sir.
That's from a breaker's car. That would break. You load those and then he'd let them down to the station, we called it. Then from there on, the fellow that run the tram in and out to the ore bins or to the chutes took care of your load. If it's one car or a dozen, he had that to take care of. That was my first big advancement on the tunnel level. Didn't have to go in to the face. I got out of all that gas.
Did you get a raise when you got this new job?
Oh, yes.
What was your salary then?
75 cents. That was 3 1/4. So that was quite a raise, yes, in those days. Then the next raise was $4.
What was you doing then?
Connecting the hoist. From the hoist, you see, is the trams that come in from the different levels with the cars. I'd stand there and push them onto both decks of the hoist. You see, the bottom would come, the top would come first. You'd run your car onto that. Those cars, most of them, they got so they would enlarge the shafts, and then two cars could go on, but usually it's one. You could run one on, anchor it, then give the signal, was three, that means one. That's to raise it 4 feet, stop. Mm-hmm. And then run your next car on, and if it's three decks, one, again, you'd raise it, stop, and when you're loaded, one, away it goes.
Mm. Oh. Approximately, how big was the mine shaft itself, you said, before they enlarged it?
Oh, the prospect holes, is that what you mean? It was only 8 by 8. And then when they struck ore, that was immediately changed. 8 by 10. They give you man way, and then a bucket way. For the buckets to go up, used to go up, and there were self dumpers. When they got up here, they would dump into a chute, and then the car runner would run it out into the ore bins.
What was your next position in the mine?
Well, the next in that particular mine was ore sorter. I had developed I could tell ore. They'd try to catch me, you know. They'd strike some new crystal and stuff. Because I studied that old man's books. I didn't get much advancement in the first mine. But in the second mine, I started out as a tender down at the shaft. Bottom shaft is very dangerous. Paid more. But if a drop come out of that bucket, bingo, get your head. You had to wear a steel helmet because it was dangerous. But that's all changed now. But that was long. That was long in the early 1900s. 1905. My first big underground was in 1905.
Did you get an increase in pay with this last job?
Yes.
How much did you make?
Leasing. Leasing, I made what I made. I'd make all I made.
When did you first start leasing? And could you describe the experiences you had with your first lease?
My first big lease was in Bingham. That was in the Highland Boy mine. I took a lease from a lease. That is, I went in on a lease. It was in two levels. I could control one level. Well, I had both leases, but I leased from a leaser.
Would you explain to me actually what you meant by lease and how much it cost you for a lease and what rights that gave you?
Well, it depended on the value of what you was leasing. That maybe you'd if it wasn't a lease where you could make pay dirt, it was a contract. If you wanted to drive a tunnel, you'd contract so much a foot. That was all together, but it was on the same principle. You could get paid for as many feet as you broke. And then if you took the absolute responsibility of running a tunnel, then you had to hire muckers. One was to load the cars, and the other run them out and take care of them and bring the empties back in.
Well, did you not have to pay for a lease?
Yeah, percentage. All leases were paid on percentage.
What percentage would you pay?
Well, that depended on how much Irish there was in you. Or if you could make the the superintendent believe you was worth more than you really was, and your lease wasn't worth as much as it really was, put in a pretty bid, high bid, and he'd see that you got it. It was illegal. If you would squeal on a superintendent, Evans, he would lose his job and be blackballed from mining. So they had to be a little careful, but if they liked you, they'd see to it that you would get a pretty good bid. They'd select your bid as the most competent. That went 50%. Then your bid in actual money was what you'd bid to do it. He would always raise that. It's worth so-and-so. That's a dangerous place. He's at this hazard and that hazard, whether the hazards are there or not. So if you were in good with the superintendent and treated them right, they're like any other job. You can work up, and you can work up fast, or you can be degraded just as fast. that answers your question or not.
Yes, sir. Then actually, you didn't have to put up any money to get a lease.
No.
You were just doing it on a percentage?
No, if you're sinking a shaft, let's say...
Do you explain sinking a shaft, please?
There's a level flavor here. They want a hole made down here. So that hole is a shaft.
Right.
Now that'll, if it's just for one man way, it's 8x8. And sometimes you get by a 6x6, but that was too, at least wobbling of your bucket, the shaft would catch the edge. So finally, after the union took over, that was 8x8. That protected the man that was working in the shaft. The swing of the bucket, if he'd jerk that, you see, he'd start the bucket to swing a little. And the more it swung, the more it swung. The catch on the timbers, the poor devil down here was 100.
Yes, sir.
So, well, there was lots of things. Now, there's no two leases that I took alike, because some would come under where I was responsible, some where the company was responsible. Where the company was responsible, you couldn't bid as high as where you was responsible. So if you want to take your own life in your own hands and make your own self responsible, then you could bid quite a bit higher. And if you look the ground over and the fissures and go up above on the next level up and see where the next fissure was and so on, there's a lot of things that you have to know about ground. Because if up here 50, there's a vertical fissure going up here.
What is a fissure?
Where the earth has come together, left a streak, where the minerals don't match.
Okay, thank you.
That's what that's what makes ore bodies too. Those fissures that when in the making, a movement of the earth that leave a cavity, then Mother Nature deposits her gases. It's all gases at one time. Then the combination of gases crystallizes and fills in. That's the secret of everything in mining, is what Mother Nature does for you.
How would you personally go about selecting a lease? Tell me about how you started.
Yes, I would get a job in the mine first. And I'd make myself pretty outstanding with the shifters.
By that, you mean gain their confidence?
Yes. Do your work. Do exactly what they tell you. If it seemed impossible, do it anyhow. And they'd soon light up on you. That's a pretty good kid. He'll do her. I'm going to let him in a little easier. We'll just report that the rock has got a little harder. Cut that down, maybe. Instead of 6 feet, 4 foot. Maybe as low as 3 foot.
In a day?
Yes. Or you could make the other, just put added work.
Were any of the inspectors or the straw bosses, as you call them, ever paid off or given bribes?
No, that would be a death sentence. I don't believe a man could be bribed underground, because that would be his career.
So if he did it, it was for friendship or he liked the man?
Well, he'd have to more than like him. And I don't believe, if you was a foreman or a superintendent, you could give a lease to your kin. In my day, they couldn't. Absolutely impossible.
Okay.
Mining laws have changed. I don't know now. I've been out of mines a long time.
Okay, now you went to work in this mine to get an idea of the richness of it? Is that
no,
correct?
More money.
Well, I was referring to when you started leasing.
Oh, yes.
How you'd go about getting a lease.
My spare time, I would always work hard, and I'd get on good with the engineer, and on good at the loader. I'd say, take me up, let me on off of the 600.
And what do you mean by 600?
That level.
600
I
level.
I was down here on the 2400.
Okay.
Or wherever I was, let me off at the 600. Then he'd signaled stop at the 600. He has a dial there. He can tell right where his skiff is. When he gets there, rings the bell. Electric bell. Bing! Stop, just like that. Get off, then signal on him with your signal. Okay. 1, 2. Hoist away. So, you have to make your friends.
What would you do on the 600 level?
Look for a lease. Look for something that somebody else had missed. Very often, you see, if you've been underground, you know what to look for. A strata goes up here, possibly right in the top of the head of your drift. You looked at it, it'd be a little iron stain or mineral showing up there, or maybe just a fissure. And after a while, that fissure would open up into little cavities. And then you can tell about by the drilling of your pounding of your machine, if you're within 100 feet, you can tell by the sound of your drill that you're nearing a little opening.